Ryan Callahan will join us here in a moment. Two-time Olympian with Team USA back in 2010 and 2014. And it appears as if the Olympics are coming back into focus for NHL players, Dave, with the most recent CBA negotiations. That would indicate to me the players felt like they had a lot of leverage. The league felt like they didn't, or the league felt like they had to throw a bone to the players to make sure that they come back and play this summer. And the players appear to have locked that in. So sounds like they'll be in China in 2022 and in Italy in 2026. Not ideal in terms of time zones for North American hockey fans, but the players want to be there. And I'm glad it's going to happen, because I think international hockey is sorely lacking, and it's a huge part of the history of our country and huge part of the history of the country or of the sport. And as I've said many times, I feel for younger players, guys like McDavid and Matthews, who haven't had that opportunity to have their big moments,
yeah,
like all the other great players have throughout history.
Totally. Like, I'm with you. This is huge. I'm not sure the players had leverage, Hayes. Like, I think this is sort of like the owners throwing them a bone at a moment they crush them. Because, let's be honest here, this CBA negotiation did not go well for the players. Outside of the Olympic participation, which we all know has meant a lot to players, and they were upset about that they didn't get the chance to go to Pyeongchang in 2018, man, this was not a good moment for the Players Association in negotiations, obviously. Like, they're taking a 30% pay cut next year, Hayes. It hasn't been good. The owners are not absorbing the losses. The players are absorbing the losses due to COVID under this agreement. So, pending approval, of course, because the players still have to vote on it. But I'm with you, man. Like, the idea that we would have had to go through a generation where Connor McDavid didn't get to play in the Olympics in his prime, where he wouldn't have got the chance to play in the Olympics with Sidney Crosby, who's now, don't forget, 32 years old, 33 next month. Not exactly a spring chicken. Now, Sid may be the guy that plays until he's 40-something, a la Gordie Howe playing at a high level. We don't know, but we won't.
Yeah, I think Sid's probably a lock for the 2022 team anyway.
Yes.
I mean, in 2026, maybe that's a different conversation, but it wouldn't shock me if he was still playing and still rolling.
Totally.
Let's bring in two-time Olympian, longtime NHLer, analyst with the NHL Network. Here's Ryan Callahan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're doing pretty well, man. We're just talking about how it feels like the Olympics is going to be back into the picture here, and the NHL players will be going in 2022 and 2026. And as you look back on your career, you know, how cool was that for you? Just being selected, playing, being a part of a national team at the highest level you could possibly play.
Yeah, I mean, it was really unbelievable. You know, as I look back on my career, I honestly think that, you know, especially those Olympics in Vancouver in 2010 there, that was probably the highlight of my career, of best 2 weeks of most fun, other than maybe outside the Stanley Cup Finals I played in, that I had throughout my career. Just to be able to represent your country, put on your country's colors. It's such a big stage like the Olympics, with all the other sports going on. There's so much pride in your country. You know, when last year when the players didn't get to go to the Olympics, I thought it was a real shame. I mean, I know how much I cherished it, how much I enjoyed the two that I was there. And then, you know, I heard you guys talking there, a guy like McDavid, you know, and guy who's so talented like that, you know, not to get that opportunity, you know, to represent his country on that stage, and everybody else, the young guys that didn't get to experience it, that are so talented, that deserve that. You know, it looks like they're going to be going now, and I'm extremely happy for the players. It's quite an experience, and I'm really lucky that I got a chance to play in two of them.
Well, Ryan, I mean, when you look at the Olympics in 2022, I mean, you know, in Canada, this is the type of country where the minute it was announced that the Olympics is going to be a part of the international calendar, people start putting their teams together already, right? Like, it's that hotly anticipated. But if I'm in the States right now, and I'm part of that hardcore hockey community in the States, I'm feeling pretty good about my team for 2022, led by none other than Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, the amount of talent that, you know, young American players right now is through the roof. So, you know, it's usually Canada's always up there, and they always will be, but you know, I'm very excited to see what this American team is, and it's not going to be an easy team to pick with the amount of talent coming out of the U.S. and young guys too. I mean, that's what the most impressive part about it. It's a core of young players that, you know, have a chance to play in this Olympics together, and then who knows, 4 years from then, you know, it's going to be the same group of guys, more experience. So it's going to be a real treat.
Yeah, when I think of the American team, the poster boy for me is Patrick Kane right now, just based on his history. He's an all-time great player. I think when all is said and done, he'll be considered the greatest American player ever. But is Matthews kind of moving up that list? Where would Austin rank for you in terms of, you know, when you think of American hockey players right now and guys that will be the quote-unquote face of that Olympic team, where would Austin Matthews slot in?
I mean, he's up there one, two, three. I think you nailed it on the head with Patrick Kane. You know, it was going down probably as the greatest American to play. I completely agree with that. And but yeah, I mean, Matthews is right there as well, and he continues the career that he's having and keeps going on this path. I think he's going to be you know, with Kane right there in that conversation. But as for the Olympics, yeah, I mean, he's top one, two, three. You got a guy like Eichel too, who's up there, very talented player. So it's going to be an exciting time, and it's going to be some good hockey. It always is at the Olympics, and I'm excited now just to watch it as a fan.
So what's your excitement level, Ryan, to see this hub city model unfold? And what are you hearing, you know, from guys you've played with, from guys who will be going to one of the two hub cities, about their level of excitement versus their level of maybe a little bit of wariness of the situation?
Yeah, I think the players I've talked to, everybody's excited. I mean, everybody's excited to get a chance to play for the Stanley Cup, to get back to playing hockey, but with that, there's also a huge level of concern, and it's just the unknown, I think. You know, you could put all the plans together and have the formats you want, but there's still that unknown because you haven't done it yet. What happens if one guy gets infected or two guys get infected? You know, how do you go from there? So there's a lot of guys that are going to be leaving their families for a long time, too. I can appreciate that, having three young ones of my own. That is not going to be easy at all if you're gone from your family from, you know, 2 to 3 months, depending on how far you go. That's not going to be easy. And also, you know, for better lack of it, you're going to be stuck in a hotel room for quite a while and not going to be able to go out. You know, so it's going to be a big adjustment for a lot of these guys. And I think a lot of guys realize that. But at the same time, there's that excitement of getting back and doing what you love. And, you know, I think what everybody plays for, a chance of winning a Stanley Cup.
We're chatting with Ryan Callahan, longtime NHLer, two-time Olympian, and currently an NHL Network analyst. The asterisk talk has been out there, you know, for the past few months as we've thrown around different ideas, different potential models for a return to play. This is unique. It's different. That's the era we're living in. It's 2020, man. It's thrown a curveball to everybody. But once we get through this, if you can look to the future, we get to, you know, mid-October and a cup has been handed out, do you picture the emotion to be just as high as it always would be if you were on that team, if you win that Stanley Cup? You think any of those guys are going to be listening to any of the asterisk talk or anything like that?
I don't think they'll be listening to any of it. I mean, without knowing, I definitely think there's going to be a little bit different feeling, though. I mean, you're going to have no fans in the crowd. You know, you come back home to your home city, there probably is not going to be a parade.
Right.
You know, you're going to have the, you know, when you go to the stadium and the stadium's full and then you have, you're on stage with a cup and, you know, you go out and you party with the cup and everything else. I mean, you're not going to have any of that either. So definitely going to be a little bit different emotions, I'm sure. The atmosphere is going to be completely different. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, as a little kid, you're dreaming to win a Stanley Cup, and this doesn't change it. Your name still goes on that cup. You still get a ring. These playoffs might be a little bit harder than any other playoffs to win. I know people are saying, you know, an asterisk next to it, but, I mean, you're going into a two-week training camp, playing a couple round-robin games for the top teams for seeding, the other guys to get in. You know, so you got to win some games to even get into the playoffs, and then you're going through, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs, what I consider the hardest playoffs in all sports, so... you're doing that off of just a two-week training camp. So this might be the toughest one of all to actually to lift it and win.
So I don't want to bring up a bad memory, Ryan, but you were part of the Tampa Bay Lightning team, obviously a season ago that had a tough moment and showed how tough it is to win the Stanley Cup when you got bounced in the first round by the Columbus Blue Jackets in a huge upset. The Leafs, of course, about to play the Blue Jackets in this 3-5 play-in round, I guess they're calling it. Break that team down. Break down the Columbus Blue Jackets. I know they've changed quite a bit since you played them last spring, but what will the Leafs be looking at, and how difficult will it be to get past this John Tortorella coach club?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there when you said John Tortorella coach club. It's they take on Torts' identity, and that's what we experienced last year in the playoffs. He had a good game plan for them coming at us. They all work hard. They're gonna block shots. They're gonna be tough to get through. There's gonna be no easy areas around the ice. Everybody's gonna play in the defensive zone. He has that identity to his teams. I remember when I played for him in New York. We overachieved a lot of those teams that we had there, going to a conference final one year, having some successful years under him with personnel on the team. Maybe, you know, we probably shouldn't have done that, but we did because we took on his identity and everybody bought in. And that's exactly what we ran into last year in Tampa. You know, I think it all started with that game one, giving up a third period lead there, a two-goal lead. Going into the third, we give up and we give that team a little bit of life and a little bit of belief. And with that, they ran with it. So for Toronto, I mean, that's what they're going to be facing. I mean, they're going to be well coached. There's going to be no easy parts of that ice, and especially come playoff time, that ice gets even a little bit smaller, as you guys know. And a very similar team to us is, you know, I feel like Tampa and Toronto are very similar teams, and in high skill, high speed. So I think they're going to be in tough. I mean, I went through it. I played them in the playoffs, and I realized how hard it was. Obviously, their personnel has changed a little bit, which I think, you know, helps Toronto. They lost some guys there, and Bobrovsky obviously was big for them. Panarin obviously was huge for them last year. But yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing Toronto I think will learn from us is you can't look past them, because it's a very well-coached team, and everybody's on the same page from the first line to the fourth. And when you play a team like that in the playoffs, it's a tough out.
Always great catching up with you, Ryan. All the best. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Awesome, guys. Stay healthy, and we'll see you soon.
You got it. Ryan Callahan, longtime NHLer. Played with John Tortorella, was a captain down there with the Rangers, so knows Tortorella well, and obviously, you know, played really well with him behind the bench. And I was thinking about it over the weekend that it's going to be a race to find your form, but also find your intensity.
Yeah.
Right? Like in all these sports, but definitely in the NHL, because there isn't going to be a buildup. Like in baseball, there's a 60-game buildup. You can't stub your toe out of the gate or you might miss, but you're allowed some wiggle room. The NBA, they're basically feeding you 8 games. For the big boys, the 8 games don't really matter that much. You know, yeah, there's some seeding, and if you're the Raptors, you want to finish in the 2 seed. You don't want to throw it away and let Boston catch you. But if you lose the first 2 games, you're not panicking.
Right.
You're like, all right, we still got 6. We got to win like 3 of these, and we hold on to our spot. We're fine. The NHL is not going to have that luxury. So whichever teams can get locked in and find their intensity, find some sort of emotional trigger, is going to be hugely beneficial. And prove you're mature enough to find it. And that's my concern with this Leaf team and my concern with this battle between the Leafs and the Blue Jackets. Based on talent, Toronto's a better team. But all year, we saw a lot of evidence that would suggest they had a difficult time coming alive. And
yeah.
They better find it and find it quick, because if you go down 2-0 in this series, you're probably done.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you're probably done.
Well, exactly. There's so much that is hard to know, Hayes, but you're right. Like, who can really ramp it up quickly is the question. And if I'm kind of handicapping the coaches, like, who's the guy you would trust to ramp up a team in short order? I'd have a
Tortorella.
Hard time finding a guy, yeah, better than Tortorella, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tortorella's a proven guy in terms of being able to find that next gear for his team. As Ryan Callahan said in that great interview, you know, this is a guy who's been able to take clubs that maybe shouldn't be doing what they're doing and get them to overachieve. And, you know, we saw it last year with Columbus beating Tampa. You know, Callahan talked about that Rangers club that got to a conference final when it probably didn't have the sort of talent that suggested it should get there. And that's on Tortorella. So you wonder how the Leafs will approach that, right? Will it be Sheldon Keefe maybe turning over a new leaf and showing a different gear that we haven't seen from him? He's talked about how he's really examining everything, and he's really looking at changing things. But Hey, man, you're right. This is going to be intriguing stuff. Who can make it happen in a 3 of 5? Will Freddie Anderson be a slow starter again? Because if he is, they could be dead. Man, there's so many unanswered questions. But that is, when you can get past all the rest of the stuff and just start talking hockey, it's a lot of fun to think about.
Oh, it's great. Exactly. I'm all for it. You know, I love it. And but that's the intangible factors of the sport, and especially playoff hockey. You know, playoff hockey is a completely different beast. And it's not how, it's how many. And intensity ramps up in conventional playoff rounds. This, I don't know if it's going to. You know, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it'll feel like in that building without any fans and stepping out there and playing competitive hockey for the first time in 4 months. But I am fairly certain that if there's a team out there that decides we actually are going to play with the same intensity as if there were 20,000 hooligans in this building and as if we did just wrap up the regular season 5 days ago, that team's going to have a huge boost.
Totally.
And a huge leg up. And if I'm looking at these two teams based on the coach and what you just said, I would say Columbus has a better opportunity of that happening. And I hope the Leafs prove me wrong.
When you think back, Larry, I remember did an interview with Brendan Shanahan right at the beginning of the COVID shutdown. And he talked about how, you know, one of the questions that he wanted answered about his team was, why do we, I should say this. He said, I was happy with the fact we played well when we had our backs against the wall, is how he phrased it, to sort of go back. And then he said, but the question I had was, why do we always insist on getting our backs against
exactly
the wall? Like, why do we dig ourselves holes and then dramatically jump out of them, you know? Why don't we just kind of do it right from the start? And to your point, Hayes, there's no room to dig a hole here. Like, yeah, 0-2, yeah, you go down 0-2 in a 3 of 5, yeah, you could win 3 in a row, but good luck, right? Because then one bad game from Freddie or one bad break in one game, you know how hockey can be. You know,
yeah,
you don't want to get down in an 0-2 hole. And this team, if it has that characteristic, it's, well, you know, we still got time. We can flip the switch. That's been the narrative of this team for 3 years, Hayes. It really has.
Yeah, it has been. They're overly confident. Even though the evidence would suggest they don't really deserve that confidence in the biggest moments.
Yeah.
And particularly in the playoffs. You can love this team all you want. They haven't won a playoff round.
Exactly.
So they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. They have to go out there and prove that they're worthy of a different reputation. And if we're lucky and it feels like we're trending that way, we're going to find out in less than a month.
Yeah.
Or just over a month.
Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope.